Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Yeah, for me, everything is on the table when it comes to it has to get fixed.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Rocky says that Christian Harris has been at Maven Coffee House.
It's a pretty good call.
Get it? It's where athletes go to die. Maven Coffee House.
He put out TikToks working out his uniform.
It's where athletes go to never play their sport ever again. Probably right. 713-780-ESPN. D'Amico Ryan says that everything is on the table when it comes to fixing this offensive line. So what changes are you making to fix this offensive line? 713-780-3776. What changes are you making, Blankers?
Man, I just, off the top of my head, I don't think there's one change that fixes it, but I'm looking at the fact that I don't want to touch either tackle position, and I don't want to touch Shaq. I think that Juice is okay at center for now. I'm looking at Kenyon Green. If I'm going to make a choice to try something differently, then the first thing that I'm going to look to is to replace Kenyon Green at the left guard position and see what that does for me and start practicing it now to get ready for it this weekend. And then I'll take my chances on the fact that someone can do pass blocking better than Kenyon Green no matter what he can do in the run game.
Yeah. Listening to D'Amico with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer, it sounds to me like he's not going to make a personnel change. You can kind of, this is my guess. It's my read on the situation. I don't want to speak for anybody or, you know, form a take or an opinion or speak for D'Amico, but the way that he sounded, it was more, we have to fix coverages. We have to fix schemes. We have to fix certain disciplines. We have to fix certain things where it sounded to, and he was also saying how good the running game was. So it's like, okay, you're talking him up. You're saying that you have small fixes. Could it be gamesmanship? He doesn't want the Colts to know. Maybe. My read on the situation is that he's not going to mess with the starting five. I disagree with that. I'm playing Kendrick Green at left guard this weekend to see what it looks like. Kenyon Green of the five offensive linemen, and yes, it's an entire unit issue. The pass protection from all five offensive linemen, the tight ends, the backs, they've all been poor. It's not just one specific guy. But of all of those guys, Kenyon Green has been the worst of the five. So what does it look like with Kendrick Green? Like, does it still look bad with Kendrick Green? And if it doesn't, it's like, oh, okay, maybe we have something here. Because last year, like, a lot of people are blaming Chris Strouser, and I was blaming Chris Strouser a couple of weeks ago. Now that it's still happening after 7 weeks into the year, it's like, okay, are these guys coachable? Like, are these guys able to grasp what is being taught to them? Like, I don't know. I think it's a fair question to wonder, because Strouser last year with a very patchwork offensive line with far less talent actually did all right. Like, Strouser coached up a poor talented offensive line last year, so it's kind of confusing me. I want to see what Kendrick Green looks like at left guard. I would make that change. If it doesn't get any better, like, I don't know who's responsible for the coverage on the Houston Texans. Like, a lot of times, some teams it's quarterback, some teams it's center. Sometimes they're working together to come across with whatever coverage they want to run against the defense on that specific play. Maybe it's a Juice Scruggs issue. So, like, the first thing that I want to see is Kendrick Green at left guard. If it continues to struggle, maybe you play Jarrett Patterson at center and then slide out Juice Scruggs to left guard if Kendrick Green's not playing well. I've heard some people be hyperbolic and throw out the Titus Howard to left guard situation again. That would be the third thing that I'm doing. Titus Howard's actually played all right at right tackle. Yes, he's had some highlight-worthy moments, some low-light-worthy moments, but I would do the other two things before I even consider Titus Howard to left guard. I actually think he's solid at right tackle whenever he's not having those low-light-worthy plays. So Kendrick Green at left guard, if that doesn't work, try Jarrett Patterson at center, move Juice Scruggs to left guard, see where you're at in a couple of weeks, and if it's still failing, well, then you got to do something drastic at the deadline.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that, you know, obviously D'Amico is going to fight tooth and nail to be defensive of his coaching staff too, but I think that the point that that you made is a good one in the fact that last season they played musical chairs. They not only had injuries, but they moved guys out of their natural positions to play whatever positions they had the biggest need at. And you take the Pittsburgh game after the first two games of the season, you led the league in giving up sacks. You didn't give up a single sack to one of the better pass-rushing teams in football a year ago with Pittsburgh in the way that they got to the quarterback, and then they kind of made it work from there. That might be more on the fact that the individuals that you're coaching right now have gotten so comfortable, they're making different money, they feel a certain way about their game that they're not doing what, even if you're coaching them the right way, because you've got a lot of veteran guys that could easily be, we said, you know, Howard doesn't want to play anything but right tackle. You know, Laremy Tunsil.
Well, I don't care about his feelings.
If
I need him to play left guard and I go to Titus Howard, I'm like, hey, you're playing left guard this week, and he wants to throw a fit and say no, I'm benching him. He's not playing for me.
And that makes your line even worse.
Just don't care. I'm not having that attitude on my football
team. No, you shouldn't have
it.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying that you've got guys with attitudes now that are making a lot of cake that are going to possibly have that kind of attitude to deal with.
But I'm not coaching my team with that in mind. Not my football team. Ain't no way. No, ain't no
I mean,
way.
I don't think DeMeco would take it either. But I'm just saying, you know, we've heard stories about Tunsil as well. But there's no
well, Tunsil's not moving positions.
I'm not trying to move him from positions. I'm just saying, from a chemistry standpoint, and from a guy's having the want to understand where they might be lacking, and then to work on it, something is missing.
Well, how many penalties has Laremy Tunsil had in the last 3 weeks?
I'm not talking about penalties.
What does he need to work on?
In terms of, like, in schemes and making sure there's communication, if there is a stunt coming and they're coming from different directions, to make sure, you know, you're on the same page, where, you know, the fact that you've seen some of the plays with their pass rushes where both guys go one way and it gives an even bigger hole for the pass rusher coming in because there's not a lot of communication.
Yeah, they do say communication's their biggest issue right now, which it's like, okay, well, how long does it take you to communicate? Because it's 7 weeks. 7 weeks of this. 713-780-ESPN. 0315. Texans can trade for O-lineman, but Slowik still has to scheme up for D-line stunts. Yes, you're right. He does have to do that. He's going to have to get better at that. 6860. Not doing that today. Texter Bo, do you guys think some of the offensive issues are because the play calling is too repetitive? I do think that Green Bay had a really good idea of what Bobby Slowik wanted to do in very specific down and distances. I think, like, Halfley had actually been on the San Francisco staff with Slowik and DeMeco Ryan. So did that play a hand in, like, knowing Slowik's tendencies? Maybe. But I did come across in that game that Green Bay had a pretty good idea when the Texans were going to run. They had a pretty good idea when they were, like, because I was calling for screens, and there were a few screens that worked, but there were a few times where they ran screens, and you could tell that Green Bay, like, oh, they were expecting it. They had a pretty good idea it was coming. So I do think that there is a really good chance that Bobby Slowik is pretty predictable on very specific down and distances, and it seemed like Green Bay had a pretty good idea of that. Because, look, Slowik got out-schemed. Slowik got out-coached by Halfley, and there's no doubt about that. So, yeah, I would throw that out there as something that is plausible, Texter Bowen.
I think the other thing to throw into that equation is the fact that I think Bobby Slowik needs to be better in terms of his in-game adjustments. We've been talking about it week in, week out, since basically week one or two of the season, that you just don't – what you see is what you get from the start of the game to the finish of the game, and it doesn't seem at halftime that they're noticing what other teams are doing and then adjusting. It's basically force-feeding the fact that we're going to be hell-bent on doing this.
Yeah. Any changes you're making, Brian?
Yeah, I would start to – because I think three of your positions are locked in. Like, I'm not touching Laremy Tunsil or Shaq Mason or Titus Howard. I'm leaving them right where they are. I mean, maybe in the – most emergencies, you'd have that conversation, but that's not right now. So they're locked into place. Where I'd experiment is at left guard and center. Maybe kind of take a look at some of what you guys have talked about with what they did last year. Like, Drew Scruggs was obviously at left guard a lot last year. Jarrett Patterson and Kendrick Green got a little bit more playing time. I'd start to look, even if it's not a full bench, a full swap out, maybe start to rotate them in game a little bit, see who you like more, and then maybe make a decision in a week or two based upon what you're seeing in the games and on film. But I think that's where you got to take a look, maybe get Jarrett Patterson and maybe get Kendrick Green more involved at left guard and center.
Yeah, I wonder how much of the coverage calls are on Juice. And, like, there's no way for us to know.
That's a question. I wanted to go back and look to see if I can make out who, like, is Juice Deuce making a sort of a line call, what we see in games, because you always saw that with Jason Kelce. It was very obvious he was calling out protections, because if he is the one calling out protections, he needs to move over to left guard, and then we need to find some, either promote, probably promote Jarrett Patterson to be playing center.
Yeah,
that was a point of contention at the start of the year, too, remember? That they were talking about that, that was going to be a big deal. CJ wanted to do that more, too.
Yeah, if he is, it's not working.
Nope.
Whoever's making the calls, they need to make a change there.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like they haven't said, and they wouldn't say if you asked them, right, either.
No, they wouldn't call that guy out.
No. Now, one thing that you do notice, especially when the Texans are on the road, is that they snap it pretty late in the play clock. You see a lot of times where Stroud's like clapping for the ball, and Juice is still kind of going over coverages. So it's kind of like, I wonder how many times they're getting to the line so late that they're calling out the wrong coverage, which is, okay, get the play in quicker, get to the line quicker, and have more time to figure out what you want to do with your coverage.
Yeah, and to the point you guys were making, but I just don't feel confident. I don't think Juice Scruggs was very good at guard last year. I like
no,
your
he's
idea
better at
better.
Center.
Yeah, he should be a center, but you know, if there's a way to maybe take some of the coverage calling out of it, or maybe you do have to get the play in a lot sooner. I don't know.
Yeah, it's an issue, but those would be my three, really two moves. I have zero interest in moving Titus Howard to left guard, but I'm doing those two things to see what I have internally before I'm doing anything externally, although I wouldn't be mad if things happened externally. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Film, do not lie. It never does. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
The Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Film do not lie. Film does not lie. 713-780-ESPN. 8755. Looks like Bobby still has a lot to learn. Might not get interviewed for a head coaching job anymore. He does need to adjust and scheme like LaFleur. His stock is not very high right now. I would be very shocked if Bobby Slowick, at this point, was a head coach in the NFL next year.
Agreed. I think that as much as everybody was basically writing this off as the last dance for Bobby Slowick before he got a head coaching job, I think that he's been exposed a little bit, and there's people that have right to have some concerns, and I would agree with you. I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job. He'll probably get some interviews, but I don't think he's getting a job next year.
Maybe. They have to finish pretty strong, I think. The this is why you have to strike when the iron's hot if you're an assistant coach, because this isn't the first time this happens to coordinators. Like, hotshot coordinators have a really good year, and then the next year they're awful, and then all of a sudden, 2 years later, they're out of work. Like, it happens a lot in the NFL where you're a hotshot coordinator, and then that's being up for all these head coaching jobs. You don't take a head coaching job, and then all of a sudden your star diminishes, and you're never really a candidate again.
And Ben Johnson's just been, I don't want to say lucky, but he's been in the right situation that he's been able to walk away and not accept jobs 2 years in a row and still be on top of the world because of the fact that his team is on top of the NFC right now, to where he'll have another opportunity and another run if he wants it.
Yeah, you have to be kind of calculated with what you do. Now, his offense was so good, and I think that you kind of saw the writing on the wall. But, yeah, there's danger there, too. What if Goff gets hurt? Like, there's always danger involved there. All right, film do not lie when it comes to the Houston Texans. Some things that I noticed. This doesn't take a rocket scientist, but D'Angelo Ross cannot be playing against capable passing teams. He was exposed all day long. DJ Bieniemy had the stat that when – D'Angelo Ross was targeted, he gave up a perfect quarterback rating.
Oh, it's unreal.
That's very difficult to do.
You just saw, even Romo was calling him out. Like, you were giving him too great of a pad, no matter what guy was running, run route, what route. They had a step and a half on him. He was laid all over the football field. You're not expecting him to be all pro, but you thought he could be serviceable, and everything you heard was he could be good. I think that probably that roster spot that's open right now is probably going to be a CUDA for the simple fact that somebody's got to be on their roster could do better.
Yeah, I think I guess I really don't know, but I kind of get that hunch, too. I kind of get that feel, too. It's like, we watch that. We know that he can't be on the football field for 60 snaps a game. The first play of the game was attacking him, and he got shook to the ground.
Yeah.
He got shook to the ground. He lost his cleats. He lost his jock. He fell to the turf at Lambeau. Watching this offensive line is so depressing, because it's like, okay, they have all this skill. Offensive line's depressing. We've talked enough about the offensive line today, though. There was some thought yesterday when we talked about C.J. Stroud, like how much was it on him? How much, you know, time did he have to throw? How many times did he have no chance? And for the most part, he didn't have a, you know, much of a chance. He didn't have a lot of time to throw. But the times that he did, he still missed a lot. Was very inaccurate with his passes, whether he was throwing in front of guys, behind guys. He was just missing. He also missed opportunities. Like we talked about the third and one where Tank Dell was wide open if he notices them. He also had some times where like third and longs where he's getting blitz immediately. And he probably notices that there's blitz there because it's right in his face. And he's still looking for that big play as opposed to like, hey, there's a little drag there with one-on-one coverage. Get the ball to my receiver, break a tackle, you got a first down. So those were areas where he could have been better. And it seemed like he was very locked into his first progression. And yeah, it was probably because Green Bay made his life hell yesterday and was applying so much pressure. But at the same time, C.J. Stroud has shown us that he's capable, even with pressure, that he can get off that first read.
Yeah, that's one of the things that was extremely frustrating was we've seen C.J. a lot of times handle a ton of pressure and handle it well and just be able to go right down the route tree and do where he, what he needed to do and basically look like been there, done that, do it again. And he looked flustered. He looked flustered this weekend. He looked like because of the early pressure early in the game, he just felt like, and then the frustration that he was going through, even throwing his helmet on the sideline, you know, basically mentally told him it's going to be a long ass day and it ain't going to get better. So I got to get rid of the ball even quicker. And that's why he probably didn't get down through the route tree.
Taking hits and more to the, to back up that point too, with him being flustered, got in the face of Alexander. Like, yeah, it's not normally what we see from cool, calm, collected C.J. Stroud. Danico Autry, I was kind of logging when he was playing, what situations he was playing. It's what we thought. Like he was rotating at defensive end early downs, first and second, third downs is whenever he played defensive tackle, ended up playing, well, just under 50% of the snaps, but didn't play defensive tackle on first or second down by my count. Maybe I missed a play or two, but I don't think he's a first or second down defensive tackle, especially because Settle and Foley are playing well. You get Edwards back after three more games. So the idea that Autry's going to be one of your starting defensive tackles, nope. I think he's just a third down pass rusher
there.
Do
you think that he was as kind of just non-existent as he was just a factor of just getting back into game shape?
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of that. Now, I thought he showed some stuff that didn't really show up on the TV broadcast. Like he was like in the face of Jordan Love, or he made a running back kind of like cut the other way. Like he was more of a factor, even though he didn't record a lot of stats, and I think the game film showed. But I was wondering too, like we know that he was suspended 6 games for performance-enhancing drugs. I wonder how much of Danico Autry being good last year was because of performance-enhancing drugs. Just throwing that out there. I don't know. I'm not. I don't want to be sued for slander. I'm just wondering for a guy who is coming off a PED suspension, who is a little bit at an elder age for the NFL. You know, maybe Danico Autry's not that guy. I don't know.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
Hey, let's just watch it. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying let's watch it because one game is way too small of a sample. But if we get in after 6 games of Danico Autry and he is a zero as much as he was against Green Bay, I think that take has a lot more credibility.
Well, that's why I was curious if that was one of the guys you looked at because he was basically non-existent except for one mention, I think, one time that Romo said, hey, there's Autry. They got him back. He didn't start, but he's in the game now, and he was able to get his hands up on a play. And I was curious because I understand it if it's hopefully just the fact that he's rusty, he's not in game shape yet, this is what he needed, and he's going to continue to get better. And I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I think that that's more than likely the case. Like, he hasn't played football in a very long time. It's hard to just come into the NFL like after not playing football for a long time and having a huge presence. I'm just saying, if we're 6 games down the road and it still doesn't come, can't call it rust at that point. What would you be calling it? A guy who's older and a guy who did serve a 6-game suspension for PEDs. Let's just store that in the back of our minds. It's not a take yet. It's just a thought. It is a thought currently. You know how we were talking, people were talking about D'Angelo Ross last Monday. Oh, he held his own. He did fine. And then we're like, film don't lie. He didn't look that great. And then gets roasted the next week. I saw a little bit of that with Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen. More Hansen than Hewitt. I thought Hewitt was much better than Hansen, but I noticed it a lot with Hansen. Both of them missed some tackles. Hansen with some critical tackles. So the whole Hewitt, Hansen held their own. Yes, Hewitt, not bad. Hansen, he was kind of like the similar D'Angelo Ross at linebacker. I don't want him. I don't want him playing. I don't think he's an NFL starter, quite frankly.
Yeah, I thought, again, just from what I saw watching the game twice, I thought Hewitt was active. He was athletic. He made a lot of plays. He looked like he had made some very physical tackles and plays. You know, had the big pick, made the big mistake was the 15-yard penalty. But yeah, I didn't see. I didn't get that deep into it to see the other mistake.
Really like Kalen Bullock. I'm a big fan of his. Really good. Obviously, the interception, that was a good play. Like, yes, Jordan Love was the big blame there because he airmailed Watson, I believe it was. Bullock went up high to get it. But then also completing that catch through traffic, nearly had an unbelievable play on that touchdown. That would have been a really big play. I really like him, though. I think he's a really good football player. Texans did a good job drafting him. Kate Stover, he had some ruthless blocks in this game. Didn't really show up in the box score, but talk about a guy who was laying the wood. I was really impressed with Kate Stover's physical nature with some of these blocks, which is good because I don't think the other guy gives you a whole lot of that.
No, that's what they said they drafted him for, too. The fact that they said he's a work in progress specifically on catching the ball, but they loved the fact that wasn't he a former defensive end?
I don't remember that.
I think he was a former defensive player at Ohio State. They turned into a tight end. And they said that his physicality, his strength, his athleticism based on his size was something that they felt like they could really work with.
Yeah, it was pretty fun to watch him lay some wood on some of these hard blocks. Petrie played well. Like Petrie played pretty good. They tried to hide him a little bit in man. Jaden Reed was not a big factor, though. I think they liked the matchup on D'Angelo Ross a lot more. But I thought Petrie was going to be like the opposite of an X factor in this game. I thought they would target him a lot if the Texans played a lot of man, and they didn't play a ton of man. But I thought Petrie played well. Obviously, the tip pass that led to the Hewitt interception, that was Petrie's play. Like Hewitt was there to catch the deflection, but Petrie's the one that broke on the ball, deflected it. That was nice to see. Halfley had a really good idea of what Slowick was doing all day. We mentioned that. One of the things that I think would have been good for what the Texans, you know, were struggling at on the offensive line and against the blitz, because there was a few times the Texans did this. I would like to see them do this more against aggressive defenses. Play action.
Yes.
Because there was a few times that they did this that A, was successful, or B, you see them run, and it's like C.J. Stroud would still have like the rollout to sell that it could potentially be a pass, and you see them bite. Like, they were so over-aggressive, I think the play action would have done wonders.
That's interesting. Yeah, because, again, you would think that the ability to put C.J. in a position of strength would be, again, to kind of, even if you didn't game plan it during the week, but when you started to see that this was how far they were leaning and what they were really emphasizing, to get him out of the pocket, get him away from the initial pass rush that was coming up the middle, and give him more options, you know, just on take what they give you, but maybe what they give you turns into something bigger. I was curious from the standpoint of you looking at the tape, Dalton Schultz and Murray, because Murray looked really bad. Schultz had the one play early, and then he didn't.
I thought Schultz was fine, like neutral, like wasn't like fantastic, but I don't think he's been as bad as he's been in other games. Like, really, was just not a factor. Like, there was some obviously some pass protection stuff that, you know, you could point the finger at him. There was some other stuff though that, like, I think was out of his control, even though it was on his side. I thought he was neutral.
Because I noticed the blocking on the edge. It just seemed like there was a couple times that he just never even looked outside, and he got someone go right by him.
That could be the protection though. Like, that's the thing, that it's hard to dissect who's at fault because we don't know the protection on that play. Like, if the protection is, okay, we're going to attack right. How are you going to blame Schultz for a guy who's off his left shoulder?
And that was the thing, too, where the way they were lined up defensively, it looked like between him and Tunsil on the left side, each guy was going to take a guy, and then they both went inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what are we doing?
That's why I would really like to know what their calls are. It would help a whole lot because I don't know who's screwing up. I know that they are screwing up, but I don't know exactly who.
We were worried about Murray in coverage.
Yeah, Murray wasn't good.
Okay.
Murray wasn't good. But again, like, D'Angelo Ross was the one that they were attacking. Like, and Stingley had a couple of slants, but I mean, like, you're going to give up a couple of those. Murray wasn't, like, super bad. He had the one really bad series where he missed the tackle on third down that would have gotten the defense off the field, that prolonged the drive. Then he had a pass interference like two plays later, and then a touchdown like two plays later. But other than that, he was kind of a neutral too, like kind of a nothing, kind of a net zero. And the final one that I had is, I think D'Amico, like we talked a lot about that final defensive possession yesterday. I think D'Amico should have went dime there. Like, and he's shown that he's gone dime, and it's like, well, who are you going to play? Your safeties are hurt, right? But I'd rather see MJ Stewart in coverage than have to see Jake Hansen in coverage, because there was one play in particular where Jake Hansen's in coverage and just like gifts 10 yards. Jake Hansen's in coverage and zone, and it's like, ugh, I'd much rather see a defensive back than Jake Hansen on the field. You know that they're going to throw the ball on you. I thought that was a missed opportunity by D'Amico, and I didn't think of it in the time, but watching the film and seeing Jake Hansen on the field in coverage there when you know Green Bay was going to pass, I'm disappointed D'Amico didn't go dime on that final possession.
Are you referring to the play where
the entire series?
Oh, well, there was one play in particular. I mean, obviously they're playing a soft and off coverage almost throughout that entire possession. But there was one player where there's only one middle linebacker in the middle of the field, and I thought it was Jake Hansen. And he immediately like backpedaled at the snap and left Jacobs open for just an easy little check down that picked up like 8-9 yards.
Mm-hmm. They were playing nickel throughout. I don't know how they were lined up on that specific play. There was a really bad one to Kraft where he gave up just a gifted 10 yards. He might have been on that Jacobs one too, but I'm just sitting there watching him like, you know they're throwing. Yeah, you're not blitzing until they got across the 50.
Yeah, not only were they backed up at the snap, but then like the linebacker, and I think it was Jake Hansen, immediately starts to backpedal and bail out. And it just left the middle of the field completely wide open for the easiest check down you could ever have. When you know all they're trying to do is pick up easy yards to get to a field goal.
I was not happy with that. To your point, sagging off in coverage. I would have liked them to blitz a little bit early. Like Jordan Love struggles against the blitz.
They did once they
crossed the 50, like do it on the other side of the field. Do it whenever that drive's starting. Try to create some havoc instead of, like you said, just chilling, just hanging out, let them dump off, just methodically move down the field as Jake Hansen's on the field in coverage.
Well, remember, we started the week by talking about the dime because of the fact that we were concerned about Hewitt being on the field. But as it turns out, maybe it was more so because of Hansen.
Yeah. I didn't love that. 713-780-ESPN. No disrespect, Blankers. I know Green Bay is your team, but dang, Alexander was ticking me off. I wish Nico was playing to put him in his place. Nico would have trucked him.
I have not been a fan of the antics of Jair Alexander since he's been in Green Bay. If you remember, it goes all the way back to when they were sending the captains out on the field for an overtime game they shouldn't have been in, and he wasn't the captain and anointed himself and then made the wrong
I forgot about that.
And he made the wrong call and didn't take the ball and they lost. It's like he goes way too far. I thought that it went way too far. It was one thing to get guys fired up before a game. I just thought it was too much.
Yeah, that's fair. Like I like my players to be a little bit. I like them to be a dog. I like my defensive guys to be dogs. But whenever you're going into business for yourself like that and going out there for the coin toss when your coach doesn't want you out there, that's definitely crossing a line. Yep. But in this game, I would have loved to have Jair Alexander on my football team in that game.
Yeah, no, look, he's a hell of a player. That's what I think frustrates me more than anything else. He is a hell of a player. So therefore, I don't think it's necessary. I think his actions can do enough. If someone's drawing with you on a certain play, so be it. But I just thought like he was seeking out, like on one play, he was like 15, 20 yards away from Tank and had to sprint after the play because he wanted to get in his grill and keep talking. Like at one, you're really putting yourself at risk of
Tank a lot,
which kind of got in his head. And
but
went to
I just, I thought it was too much.
I like a little bit of attitude in my secondary. I like a little attitude on my football team. Give me attitude. Give me attitude reflects leadership.
I'm a dog.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. What about check down? CJ seemed to always have a safety valve last year. Is it personnel messing up or Slowick not calling? No, it's there. I think Stroud gets locked on his first progression. I think he was rattled because the Green Bay pressure was so intense, and I don't think he ever got off of his first reads. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Who is in your doghouse? Who is in your doghouse this week? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, a moment for Stella Rosa wines. They are absolutely delicious. They use all natural fruit flavors. They really kind of give them a little hint of a spice, too, and they really go with anything you're serving, game day or otherwise. If you're looking for a refreshing drink, beverage served cold, especially because of the fact that we're still dealing with heat, and you want to give your guests an alternative to just beer or hard liquor when you're looking for a drink, and you're basically, if you're going to be drinking for a long period of time, it kind of paces everything for you without you having to worry about all the water you got to consume in between. Stella Rosa wines should be on your menu the next time that you serve food and beverage to guests. And maybe it's a great way to unwind after a day of work because it's not too much, it's not too heavy, and it tastes just right with just about everything you are serving. Stella Rosa wines are available at your local retailers, at your grocery store, as well as your liquor store. So it's easy when you're going grocery shopping and you're stocking up on things to serve for your game day watch parties to grab a little Stella Rosa wine as well as everything else. It goes beautiful with everything you're serving. It's the complement to any celebration. It's fantastic. And they're also going out of their way to try and take care of you as customers. It's college football season, we know, and they have tickets to the biggest game of the college football year, and they are going to give away some tickets, and you have a chance to win. All you got to do is go to ESPNLADreamTicket.com, and Stella Rosa may be putting you at the biggest game of the year. Again, Stella Rosa wine found at your local retailer. Remember to enjoy chilled and always celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Who's in your doghouse this week? 713-780-ESPN. Who is in your doghouse? Blankers, you go first.
Okay, easy. We just got done talking about him a whole hell of a lot. The Texans offensive line. Top to bottom, left to right, right
five
to left.
Five guys. That's going to be a crowded doghouse.
Five guys could actually. It's great when it's burgers. It ain't great when it's the Texans offensive line.
It's good. This is a lot of mass.
Yep.
A lot of mass.
It's a dog pound in the doghouse. They suck.
Yeah, in my doghouse, Laramie Tunsil, Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, Shaq Mason, Titus Howard. So a lot of beef in my doghouse.
I assume I'm also now in your doghouse since I just spoiled for something for you on the way in.
No, yeah, you are in my doghouse.
Yeah, I'm a bad person today. That's on me.
I am anti-spoiler. Yeah, if there's one thing I feel strongly about is that you should not spoil things for others.
No, trust me. As someone who never watches, well, I'll just let people in. I spoiled something on Monday Night Raw for Jeremy. I never watch it live, so I assume by the time I watch it, everyone else has, but that was on me. That's one. Mine is Marvin Harrison. I don't know, man. Watching the Chargers-Cardinals game last night, they actually started cutting up all the examples they had of it and putting in the broadcast. There was a whole lot of seemingly, I don't care, I'm not getting the ball, I'm not that interested. And then the play where he actually, Cardinals got bailed out because the Chargers went helmet to helmet.
Bailed out?
Okay, well, they got bailed out in the fact that Marvin Harrison dropped the pass. I'm not saying that it was a bad call. But on that play, I mean, Marvin Harrison's wide open. He for some reason, jumps up to catch the ball when there was no reason to. It hits him in the chest because he doesn't hands catch. It bounces off his jersey after a full game of seemingly barely trying. I don't know. Malik Nabers, obviously, having the greater rookie season so far. It's not, I don't know, the vibes right now with Marvin Harrison Jr. aren't great.
Would you rather have Nabers or Harrison?
Neighbors.
Yeah, I'd rather have Neighbors too. Although Neighbors got a little diva to him.
Oh, he does. Neighbors
got a little diva to him.
Neighbors diva seems to also come with the dog on the field. Marvin's diva doesn't always seem to come with that.
I am a little worried about Neighbors' proneness to injury.
Sure, he's
something
a small
to monitor.
Guy. Yeah, he's a small
would you
guy.
Rather have so Neighbors over Harrison? Would you rather have Brian Thomas Jr. or Harrison?
Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah, I think so too.
As much as the knock coming out was he didn't want to play football, he looks like he wants to play a
Brian
lot of football.
Brian Thomas Jr. looks great.
He looks
on a
really
bad
good.
Team too.
With a lesser than quarterback.
Would you rather have Xavier Worthy or Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
I think I'd do that as well.
Would you rather have Rome Odunze or Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I'll still take Marvin.
Yeah, I think so. I will too.
Would you rather have Ricky Pearsall or Marvin Harrison Jr.? What are you laughing about, Marvin Jr.? Marvin, Pearsall's a survivor.
Hey, that's true. Marvin hasn't been shot in the chest and came back in the same year. No, I would still think Marv.
Keon Coleman.
Marv.
So Marv's third?
I'm moving Neighbors and I'm moving Brian Thomas ahead.
I mean, Brian Thomas is the 23rd pick, though.
I know. Jaguars got that one right.
Ask Ocho.
Yeah, he was right about that.
Yep.
Marvin Harrison was instrumental in that game yesterday. He took a charge on the helmet-to-helmet on the defenseless receiver. That was the biggest play of the game. It's the biggest play of the game.
And he charge.
He did.
He got charged. He has dome piece.
He did. Look, he's a competitor. He wants it. A lot of 1-2. All right, who else is in your doghouse?
Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams, I mean, you can't do wrong right in the what you've done since you've been in the league. Came into the league injured, so you missed, I think, 11 weeks. Then once you got into the league, you were gambling in the team facility and got suspended. And now you're suspended yet again for 2 games. Come on, man. Get it right.
I mean, he's just trying to enhance his performance. What's wrong with that? I like guys who try to get better at what they do.
That's this time.
Huh?
That's this time. This suspension.
Yeah, he's a gambler. Well, everybody gambles a little bit.
He needs to grow up a little bit.
Everybody dabbles in the gambling from time to time, right?
Jameson Williams.
Also in my doghouse is Jerod Mayo. Jerod Mayo, he's never done anything. Jerod Mayo, he feels like he's entitled. Why does he feel like he's entitled? Because he's friends with Robert Kraft. He was under Bill Belichick, never did anything of consequence for Bill Belichick, never did anything of consequence as a coach. He's blasting his players. His team is worse than they were last year. He's getting into verbal spats with the greatest coach of all time in NFL history. Jerod Mayo is in my doghouse. He's in he deserved that one. Jerod Mayo deserved that little meek dog bark.
Next one in the doghouse for me. I don't know if you guys noticed this on the way in. I'm not sure which way you guys come, but they've already put up the Christmas lights down Richmond.
Have they really?
Yes. I mean, it's a week from Thursday will be a week till Halloween, yeah. And they're already putting up the, you know, like the little like five sided that looks makes it look like a star. They've already started putting those up on the lamppost down Richmond near here near the station. Like I before it was we couldn't even celebrate Thanksgiving for people trying to force Christmas onto us. Now we can't even get to Halloween, and they're already putting up the Christmas lights. Yeah, that's in my doghouse.
Why are you anti Christmas?
I'm not anti Christmas. I'm anti Christmas in October.
8683 says Texans offensive lines in his doghouse, his or her. Honey Glaze Branham, CJ is in my doghouse. I know the offensive line was crappy, but that's no excuse for making chicken bleep at a chicken salad. He has been good at that this year, prior to Green Bay. 1984 says Bobby Slowick. Ryan, second half offensive play callers in his doghouse for six out of the last 7 weeks. Slowick's not really well loved in Houston right now. 8082 says Jerry Jones for his idiotic comments of Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And then Bucks coaching staff is in my doghouse, says 2180. Had Godwin in the game during garbage time and he's dead now. It's not garbage time. It's a two-possession game. You have the football. Go score, onside kick. You got a glimmer of hope. Glimmer of hope. Now, 2180, I hope that you were blasting D'Amico Ryans when he had the starters in the game against Minnesota down by 27 in the final offensive series. Because if not, you're a hypocrite. I saw a lot of hypocrites on the internet yesterday. A lot. You know who you are.
Was a certain writer involved in that?
I don't know what they do.
Huh?
I'm not sure what they do.
DJ. Was DJ defending it?
I didn't see a DJ tweet.
No.
I didn't see DJ. I don't know. DJ didn't say I was wrong with that. DJ.
Oh, no, I think he pushed back quite hard on you.
No, he said he understands the point, but he says football is football. But he certainly understands being 27 points or whatever. You know, there's other people out there that are hypocrites that are blaming Todd Bowles for getting Chris Godwin injured in a 10-point game. But everybody gives D'Amico Ryans a pass whenever they're down by 27 on the final offensive series. How do you do that? How do you get mad at one coach for a 10-point game, two possessions, but not mad at another head coach when they're down 27? How?
I think you're running into the...
Homer?
Well, yeah. I think you're also running into the idea that fans are never rational. What they criticize their own... the other coaches for, they'll never criticize their own for. Or vice versa in some cases, depending on how the fan operates.
Right? That's the problem I have with fans and other people that are also having this point. Be consistent with your takes. Be consistent. If you're going to blame a coach for getting a receiver hurt down by 10, you got to do the same thing to a coach down by 27. 2585, Ryan's in my doghouse. He screwed up that game with his bad clock management. It's not his strength. Clock management, game management, not his strength. And then 2180 said, I did blast D'Amico because you told me to, Branham. Look at me influencing. It's what I do. I'm an influencer. The texter admits it. I have receipts right here. Literally just happened. All right, car wreck of the day. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what I love? I love football in October. I love football on a Saturday evening at TDECU Stadium. I love homecoming. What's not to love about homecoming? The pomp and circumstance of homecoming. Calling all Cougars. Let's show our Cougar pride and support the team for homecoming this Saturday. University of Houston Cougars taking on the Utes of Utah. Saturday, October 26, 6 p.m., TDECU Stadium for homecoming. And U of H has a homecoming offer for you. Four tickets and a parking pass for only $70. Family fun for everybody for $70. You can't get that deal anywhere else. The weather is going to be great. It's going to be a fun game between Houston and Utah. To grab this deal, visit uhcougars.com/home. That's uhcougars.com/home. Get ready for a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments as homecoming comes to TDECU Stadium on Saturday. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd of a college football game, especially the tradition and pageantry of homecoming. Come out early, stop by the Bud Light backyard tailgate area, enjoy the food before the game, a beverage, and tailgate games. Got to get out there for the tailgate. Again, uhcougars.com/home, uhcougars.com/home. Take advantage of the homecoming offer. Four tickets and a parking pass for just $70. Come early, be loud, and wear red as we pack the stadium for homecoming.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Uh-huh. You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What are you nominating for your car wreck of the day? 713.
You tried to damage our window.
ESPN. Thank you for thinking I got an arm that big. Look at that compliment. Blakers didn't like that
here.
You complimented me like that.
I could care less.
He didn't like, couldn't care less.
That too.
That's true.
Sorry, I apologize. Random. Respectfully.
Respect.
I totally see where D was coming from. I really get it now. D has opened my eyes. D, you were so right. How dare I doubt you? All right, car wreck of the day, 713-780-377. I'm a delight. What are you nominating for your car wreck of the day?
Joel Embiid, to start with.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid, who was fine during the Olympics, didn't do anything since the Olympics to really have anything that should be a major concern. Not only is he going to miss the opener of the NBA season, but he's going to miss at least the first week.
More polished center than Olajuwon.
What'd you say?
That's what the internet people do.
Yeah, the internet tried to make Embiid over Olajuwon a thing. Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this Olajuwon book, by the way. I'm learning some things about Olajuwon.
I haven't started it yet.
You know, he didn't start playing until 79. I knew he was a late bloomer, but he didn't start playing basketball until 79.
17?
1979. I don't know his age, but he was.
I thought it was like 16 or 17 when he started playing.
When his first year at U of H was, what, 82? Because his last year was 84, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he started playing basketball in 79, was playing college basketball 3 years later.
In the Final Four.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, I knew he was a late bloomer. I didn't know it was that late. And apparently, he was more of a handball player than a soccer player.
That I knew.
Yeah, I knew that he did both, but I thought that they were, like, both as equal. But he was better at handball than he ever was at soccer. All right, I got sidetracked. My bad. Car wreck of the day, the SEC, for nominating Vince Young as a member of the 2024 SEC Legends class. How many games did Vince Young play in the SEC?
Zero.
What are you doing in the SEC Legends class, SEC?
This is a very Tennessee Titans move.
I understand that Vince Young is awesome. I loved Vince Young. Watched him at Madison. He and Courtney Lewis doing some damage, getting beat in the playoffs by North Shore in the regional finals at the Astrodome. Followed his career at Texas. That's big of me. That shows you how much I like Vince Young when I'm rooting for him at Texas. Love Vince Young. He doesn't belong in the 2024 SEC Legends class.
That's a joke.
Come on, man. That's my car wreck of the day.
My car wreck of the day is, the quote is obviously making the rounds now, but Jerry Jones on their radio station today. He wasn't trying to get radio hosts fired, but he was apparently saying that, you know, Derrick Henry, he's having a career year, but I don't know if he'd have a career year in our system. Like,
He's probably right.
Well, okay, that's still not a good. That's still an indictment against you. Even if you, I mean, either you don't know ball, or it's an indictment against what you're building in Dallas. If you can't make the leading rusher in the NFL work in your system,
not what he said.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't have a career year in our system.
I think he's right. Do you think he would have a career year in Dallas?
Career year, no. I think he'd have success wherever he plays, as long as they had a decent offensive line.
As Bruno told us earlier, the Cowboys aren't underachieving; they're just bad.
So they have to embrace the suck.
So if they had a bad offensive line, how's Derrick Henry going to have a career year in that? I don't think he would. All right, what's going to win here?
I'm going to go Jera.
Obviously, it's my nomination. I'll second Jera.
I'll go Vince Young in the SEC.
I could go either way with those, because that is brutal, too.
Well, give it to Jerry. I win enough. All right, Jerry Jones, the winner, car wreck of the day. He's B-Mac. Thanks for the hard work. He's Blankers on Brandon. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis, right now on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.